Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I am so pleased that you have set your dials to channel 88.1 FM. We are KFHC Ponca Sioux City and KOIA Storm Lake. I am Joanne Fox, and I am the host of Faith in Action. And again, I am so tickled for your support if you are listening, and it's Monday morning at 9 a.m. Great. I hope you've grabbed a cup of coffee and are chilling back. If it's Saturday at 7 p.m., then I hope you got your feet up with maybe an adult beverage and you're anxious to hear what we have to talk about. But we try and cater to wherever our listeners are. You can always go to SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com, click on my picture and the Faith in Action logo, and all of our shows come up as podcasts. So we try and meet you wherever you are. Now, of course, if you're driving and listening, just be cognizant of your surroundings and safe driving on the road. So, again, thanks so much for tuning in. We have a very fascinating show today and one very close to my heart, and I will explain why in a minute. But Mercy One has announced the launch of its military and veterans health care program. And as you well may know, Mercy One is the only Catholic hospital that serves the Diocese of Sioux City and for most practical purposes, that would be northeast Nebraska and southeast South Dakota. So we are so pleased to always feature anything that Mercy One has. And for those of you who have been around Siouxland for any length of time, you know Mercy One Siouxland previously was St. Joseph Hospital and then St. Vincent Hospital, and then it segued to Marion Health Center and then Mercy, and now it is Mercy One Western Iowa. So whatever it is, whatever name it is, we love our Catholic hospital. So that's what we're going to talk about for this program is the launch of the Military and Veterans Health Care Services. And what it does, it provides quality, compassionate, and culturally competent care to our military service members, veterans, and their families. It is such an exciting program, and we're so pleased to bring it to your attention. So, in the studio with me, I've got two guests. Tonya Weinkoff, she is a family nurse practitioner. She is with Mercy One Singing Hills Family Medicine and Urgent Care, which is where we go. So, I'm very pleased to have Tonya in the studio with me. Welcome, Tonya.
Thank you.
And then also with me is Soraya Flores. She is actually downtown here in Sioux City at Mercy One. She is the supply chain supervisor, but also associated with this military and veterans healthcare program, as is Tonya. So welcome, Soraya.
Thank you.
So anyway, ladies, I'm sure the listeners are wondering, well, who are these two women and why does Joanne have them on the program? So let's start out with Soraya. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Sioux City, and I attended actually all of the schools. So I went to East, and then I went to West, and I was emancipated early. I graduated early to join the military, actually. So I finished when ILC was still downtown.
Yes.
And when I was 17, I was signed up as an automated logistical supply specialist, and that was my senior year. When I came home, I did walk the stage with everyone, but from there, I spent the last seven to eight years within the Army National Guard, and I deployed when I was 20. I was tasked out to an all-male troop, Alpha Troop 113th, out of Des Moines as their female engagement team member, and this group is made up of infantrymen, mortarmen, forward scouts. So there was a lot of experiences that I had being one of two females that I'd ever had. And then also being in Afghanistan and having met with a lot of the village elders and the shamans and having to work hand in hand to really, you know, build relationships, continue relationships. The relationship was beneficial. So the point of a female engagement team is to have, you know, the tactical advantage of being able to help the male counterparts. Make sure that there's nothing hidden with the women or children because men really can't search them.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also helping provide really care as well. You'd be surprised, like hygienic needs that are really minimal that they weren't aware of. And then when I came home, I actually worked at Tyson, and it was near the in the dunes, mm-hmm. and it was nearing the end of my enlistment, and I had a really great female boss who encouraged me to go back to school. I think I was at that time maybe 24, and you know, most people are nearing the end of college at that time, but I wasn't having those same experiences. And, you know, that most people my age are. I wasn't as outgoing. I was more scared of my environment. And then I went to school, lived in Des Moines for a while. I got my bachelor's degree. And then I got this opportunity at Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center to be their supply chain supervisor. And I've been there the last 3 years, 3 years next month. And when this program rolled out, the Military and Veterans Healthcare Program, I was really skeptical. It took me maybe a month, 2 months to fully commit to it, a lot, because I was still uncovering a lot of the, I guess, the remnants of what I had experienced myself. And I put a lot of value towards this course now. And every time that I teach it, it's just like the first time. A lot of the experiences that I went through were given names because of this actual course, such as moral injury. But it has really helped me develop as a person and to be able to have an understanding of the things that I've gone through, but also because of my battle buddies who have had numerous deployments. They've been stop lost. They had, you know, they are still going through it, and seeing some people who don't recover, I guess, the way that I do is a huge motivation for me. So that's me.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, what a wonderful, fascinating background you bring to the table. So, Tonya, let's hear what you have to say.
So, I was born in Tacoma, Washington, near an active duty Army base, was raised in Alexandria, Louisiana, near an active duty Air Force base. Graduated high school from Tioga High School, and then I attended the University of Iowa, and I'm a graduate from their graduate program there in Iowa City. I joined the military initially on the Army side in critical care and served for several years, resigned my commission to go back to graduate school, and upon graduation from graduate school, I rejoined, but I rejoined in the Air National Guard. I'm currently a member of the Iowa Air National Guard, and I'm currently drilling in Des Moines. I am considered fourth generation military. My children, adult children, have joined the military as well. My oldest daughter is active guard reserve in the Colorado Springs unit. She was one of the first females to ever be in a male unit, infantry unit. And then my son is active duty special forces. My husband is retired military. He first joined in military intelligence and then finished out his career as Army National Guard within the state of Iowa. I have a background working and serving with veterans through the VA system for many, many years. And because of that, in my military background, I have just grown to love, appreciate the veterans that we have within the community. I currently have worked with Mercy One here in Sioux City for the past 3 years, and when I heard that this opportunity to join the Committee for Military and Veterans Healthcare Program, I was very interested, and I reached out, and they welcomed me into the committee itself.
All right, so what have you found out that was the impetus for this program being initiated? You know, who wants to chat about that? Soraya?
I don't know what that word means.
Well, you know, what happened that the program needed to be brought forth?
I believe that there was a recognized need within the civilian community to realize that we have military veterans and those who are currently serving that have background and experiences that most people have never encountered nor can expect to encounter within their lifetimes. And these experiences have created who they are now and who they may become later. And we need to be able to reach out to them and treat them in a holistic manner.
Okay.
So there's actually, to touch on that, within our community, we do have a really large surrounding base of Air Guard, National Guard, Reserves, and we also have our smaller troops that are located. We have over 80% of our population that's actually receiving care within the community, and we're not really readily equipped for that. And the VA is only serving 12.2% of all male veterans and 20.6% of all female veterans. So having that exposure, and especially within our location, to have just to be able to fill those gaps, I think that's where a lot of this stemmed from as well.
Okay. And listeners, if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I bet you have a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or brother, sister, child that has been in the military, that you can see merit in this sort of program. So this is kind of a teaser because we've kind of told you what this program is going to look like. And so we want you to stay tuned because when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about what this program really means to this Siouxland community. So that means you have to stay tuned because we will be right back. Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. We are so glad you set your dials to channel 88.1 FM. We are KFHC, Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm Joanne Fox. I am the host of Faith in Action. And again, if you've been with us from the top of the hour, we're about 15 minutes into the program. If you're just joining us, we are very glad that you are, because we are talking about a program that our only Catholic hospital in Northwest Iowa is come up with, and it is the launch of its military and veterans health care, which provides high quality, compassionate, and culturally competent care to military service members, veterans, and their families. And so we talked a little bit about through providing this care, the team are trained to better respond to the health concerns and the challenges, which are unique to the military community. They are very different than perhaps those of us who are civilians. So the program's ongoing training includes education about U.S. military service cultures, which are each different, as well as there are some common diseases, there are common injuries that may happen, there are exposures that are experienced by active duty individuals and deployed service members and veterans. So the hospital's patient admission process has been updated. So military members are identified upon arrival, and care is provided with a more in-depth understanding of their needs. So in the studio with me, I have Tonya Weinkoff. She is a family nurse practitioner with Mercy One, Singing Hills Family Medicine and Urgent Care, and she is a currently serving military member. And also with me is Soraya Flores. She is employed with Mercy One Supply as a supply chain supervisor, but previous deployed to Afghanistan with the Army National Guard. So it's really great to have two women who have the experience of what that was like. So as you're hearing through the hospital grapevine that there's talk about implementing this program, what was it that you thought to yourselves was, this is a great idea because? So, Sarai, I'm going to start with you. This is a great idea because?
Yeah, Joanne. So when the program first came to be talked about, I know myself personally, I have struggled with a lot of anxiety since my deployment. I was actually not diagnosed with PTSD until up about 3 years ago. So that's about 11 years later after my deployment. You can imagine living that long, not feeling like yourself, moral injury, and just having deployed with an all-male troop and really seeing what they go through with their continuous deployment. So the more you deploy, the more you're coming home with injuries and illnesses. So there's an average report of 8 to 9 for one deployment, but if you deploy twice, it's 11 to 12 chronic illnesses that are reported. Mm. And while the VA is there to support us and they're, you know, doing their best at attempting to tackle all of us and get us the care we need, it's not always enough, you know, and to be able to fill those gaps with this program, to have the ability to come into a building where there are flags displayed, I can tell you already that allows for a sense of ease to be felt. Knowing that you're going to be sat down and the things that you are going to say or that you might say are going to be slightly understood, or that there may be a way for them to pick up on subtle cues because of this program on things that you're not quite able to say. Mm-hmm. Those are huge things. My journey, I had seen the doctor many times, this community doctor, civilian doctor, and there were so many other things that I think internally were happening that they were just seeing a young person, you know, who had anxiety, who, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of the stuff that is they are being seen for, these veterans and, you know, military members, it's stuff that's happening to, you know, the general population. It's just happening at younger ages. And I think it's really important to know that total of, like, the military, 40% is made up of 18 to 25-year-olds. So you're having a lot of people having mature experiences before they're fully matured and able to understand themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you said, you know, think about 11 years of living like that. And I think about the friends that I had that experienced the Vietnam War, my dad and my uncle, and probably some other relatives, if I thought about it for a while, World War II, how many years they lived with that. And I imagine that those people are probably coming in with the same types of things, but they have, oh, they've held them so tight in their hearts for so many years that it's now manifesting itself. And that would be difficult for a civilian doctor to pick up on that, I would think. So I have you kind of sense that there are also individuals who are much older than that age range?
So, Joanne, that's an interesting question, because as a healthcare provider and currently serving in the military, I have a unique position where I'm able to understand what our current active duty military members require regarding healthcare and what requirements that they must meet to remain within the military.
Good point, Tanya. Absolutely. There's a big difference there with the active duty as opposed to I have stepped away, I've been honorably discharged, I still have issues. But there's two very different populations.
There certainly is. And because of that, and because I'm currently serving, the National Guard has been able to reach out to me for information regarding how to complete forms, what their military members need in order to be treated appropriately and to perhaps say, I'm too ill, I can't come to drill this weekend, what do I need from my military member? And not only that, we have our military children that we need to consider as well. And with my oldest daughter joining at the age of 17, when she was in the summer between her junior and senior year in high school, and then deploying her first time in college. That was an eye-opener as not only me being a military member, but as a mother as well. And so I understand the importance of speaking to the military children and the anxiety and the concern that they have when they have a family member that leads on those long deployments. And some of those deployments can be up to 16 months, or they can be deployments that occur back to back to back.
Absolutely. And that, of course, we haven't even touched on that. We've kind of talked about the individuals who are in the military, either serving right now or honorably discharged, or perhaps dishonorably discharged, or just discharged. There's several ways you can leave the military. But the families, you know, there's not a lot of chatting about the wife, the children, these other individuals who also need care and TLC, because it is a unique situation. So the program also reaches out to these folks as well. And in what ways does the program reach out to perhaps the extended folks?
So when they check in for a clinic appointment, it will ask that if they are serving within the military or a military member or family member. And so we were able to quickly identify that. And in addition to that, Mercy One in Sioux City has an TAA agreement with for training for our military members. So they're able to come in on a drill status, wear their military uniform during that training period. And it's amazing how many patients, how many individuals will reach out to them and start discussing their experience with their military or having a military family member that's currently deployed.
Okay.
And I do know that, so with the program, the Military Veterans Healthcare Program, they do touch on, like, the Blue Star family. So that goes on to really discuss how the family members are impacted and how a lot of the care that is being offloaded onto their family members, they're spending 40 hours a week on top of their jobs. This is lots of money of loss on productivity at work. And there aren't any respite care programs out there. And currently in our area, there aren't either. And there was one of our colleagues shared that there 70% of those that are providing that offloading of care will actually pass away prior to, it's terrible, I know, prior to those that they're caring for. Right now, we don't have any support programs for those for those caretakers, but we do have the Yellow Ribbon Family Program here locally. So if you, and anybody who goes through my classes, I'd share that with them. There are resources like that at the drill bases, and that consists of the family members here.
Okay. So listeners, again, this is such a wonderful outreach program that Mercy One is establishing here in the Siouxland area. So valuable, so necessary, so needed. And so I am so proud that we are able to present this. I'm the wife of a Vietnam veteran. I am the daughter of a World War II veteran. So this whole program means a lot to me, and I'm the mother of a son who was in the Air National Guard. So I got the trifecta going practically. And as I'm listening to Soraya and Tanya, I realize just maybe what's going on with those individuals in my life. So listeners, again, please stay tuned. It's time for us to take a short break to give a shout out to our supporters, our underwriters, and maybe do some public service announcements. And so we want you to stay tuned. There's a lot more to learn about this program. We will be right back. Welcome back, listeners of KFHC Ponca Sioux City and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm the host for Faith in Action, Joanne Fox. So pleased that you have set your dials to Channel 88.1 FM. Maybe you're listening to us on a Monday. Maybe you're listening to us on a Saturday. Maybe you went to our website and SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com and clicked on my picture, and you're listening to us at your convenience. We are grateful of your support. Thank you so very much. So this show is about a terrific program that has been initiated by Mercy One here in Sioux City. It is our only Catholic hospital in this area, and we love the way that they are doing this kind of mission service, which Mother Catherine McCauley, I know she's smiling down from us on heaven by all the wonderful things that are going on at the hospital. So what we are talking about is the launch of the Military and Veterans Healthcare to provide quality, compassionate, and culturally competent care to military service members, their veterans, and their families. And we kind of alluded to that in the first part of that, and we're about halfway through the program, through our program today, so we have a lot more to talk about. So Mercy One has been training their healthcare people to respond to these very specific concerns and challenges, which are so unique to the military community. So there's ongoing training, education about U.S. military service, common diseases, injuries, exposures by active duty and deployed service members and our veterans. So the patient admission process has been updated so military members are identified upon arrival, and then care is provided with a more in-depth understanding of their needs. So it's really great that Mercy One is bringing this whole military and veterans health care to the hospital and to this. And so in the studio with me are my guests, Tanya Weinkoff. She is a family nurse practitioner at Mercy One Singing Hills Medicine and Urgent Care. She is currently in the military, and we thank you for your service, Tonya. And then Soraya Flores, who has been with Mercy for the past 3 years, the hospital downtown, and she is the supply chain supervisor of Army National Guard individual who was deployed to Afghanistan. So she brings some really personal experiences of serving in that area. So we probably have, about 180,000 veterans in the state of Iowa alone, and that doesn't even include, our good folks over in northeast Nebraska and southeast South Dakota. We have a lot of folks in this area. And so you talked, both of you, about why you thought this program had merit. And so now you're kind of all in. And so the training needed by you two to carry out this mission, kind of explain to the listeners what that involved. Because I know there has to be some sort of protocol and prototypes that you have to implement so this works. So who wants to go first? Soraya?
Yeah, thanks, Joanne. So initially when this rolled out, it was from our overarching,
That would be Trinity Health.
Yes, Trinity Health, thank you. And we had met, and it was initially a three-hour course, and they brought it down to a two-hour course, and it was very, there was a lot of topics to cover. It could be very emotionally exhausting for some. But once it was actually rolled out, the initiative is that every person who is employed takes it. So that's from the president on down. and that really should reinforce the fact that that's how important this is to us. And while I guess we have already had some sort of competency training, this is something that we thought would be great to further invest into our community and add that military aspect to it.
Was there an individual who kind of was the force behind this, a physician or something like that?
Yeah. So from what I understand, at our overarching Trinity ministry, we have a Dr. Norvell Van Kootz, and he is the one who oversees this program. He was, a general for so many years. But he is the one who really catapulted this, from what I understand, and oversees it. But we have a lot of great other trainers at the Trinity level that have really helped to keep this going.
Okay. So, Tonya, maybe you can enhance this just a little bit more to talk about the training aspect of it. Because I think that's kind of interesting for those of us who are, I'm not a military person, but I have military folk in my family. So, explain the training just a little bit more, about, what you might have done. Are you filling out test forms? Are they giving you bullet points, to look for? Especially as a nurse practitioner, where you are really interacting with folk.
So, Joanne, as a healthcare provider, I am required, even though I am currently in the military, to attend this training as well. And the clinic has graciously been able to block my schedule in order for me to attend, which is very important. And everyone within our clinic will be attending. And because of what I do and what my background is, I am able to quickly identify those veterans, those current military members serving, the needs and the cares that they are looking for and seeking within the civilian sector.
Okay, so now you've both been through the training, right?
I give the training.
You give
so
the training.
I don't have to. Oh, okay. I guess I went through it, but yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm curious about. So you go through the training. What might have surprised you as you went through the training? And it'd be both, mm-hmm. military people, mm-hmm. but what surprised you? And not like a bad surprise, but I never thought of that. So, Soraya, what kind of surprised you?
Yeah, Joanne, so there were actually some really startling, numbers, statistics that were brought forth. So for female veterans, they are 40% more likely than their non than their civilian counterparts to actually get breast cancer. So, and that's across 15 different types, just from different exposures on deployments, just from, yeah. It was also really a hard finding to hear that it's also female veterans who are 12 times more likely than civilian females to commit suicide. And the age category for that is 18 to 29. And that was such a surprising find for the researchers themselves, because it's males who are far more likely to commit suicide. Some other really interesting topics were burn pits. So burn pits have been, they're what we're calling the new age Agent Orange. They are, yeah, so the Iraq and Afghanistan war lung injury. And that's something that it affects actually every generation. So whether you are burning just human waste to the no trash left behind policy and the things that you may have been exposed to.
Okay. How about for you, Tanya? What kind of surprised you as you went through the training?
So I haven't actually attended the training yet. I'm slated to attend the training later this month. And from just listening here, I can see where they've picked up on some really good needs of the veteran community based upon their exposures in the past and what they're currently going through.
As you listen to what Soraya's talking about, is any of these statistics surprising to you, or are you going, I see you're nodding.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely not surprising at all. We do have a high rate of cancer, whether it be through Agent Orange, through burn pit exposure. We also know that we've had exposure to formaldehyde and bee huts at the beginning of the Afghanistan war, which has created lung disease and lung injury. There's multiple things out there that our members have been exposed to that we're starting to build data on and understand that there truly is a connection to their health.
And that's really interesting for me as a civilian, because when I first read about the program, I thought to myself, well, of course, PTSD, you know, that is really not addressed. And so I was thinking mental health. Mm-hmm. And now I'm hearing from both of you, it's beyond that. Agent Orange, of course, for most of my listeners and myself who lived the Vietnam War, we remember that. But I don't think I put two and two together that the more recent deployments have these other issues that are now translating to physical health, which, you know, surprises me, although Tanya said, you know, you said doesn't surprise you because you are seeing that in the field. And Soraya, you said that you are a trainer. When you're doing the training, do the people who are taking the training express something similar to you, that they're going, oh, really?
Yeah, Joanne, I've actually, it really varies. I get a lot of different emotions. Sometimes it's anger that, you know, like, wow, this is something that should have been caught on the foresight. This is sadness, or I'll have a lot of people come up afterwards and say, this directly relates to me. I've had people offer, you know, reach out to try to start programs to provide more support. So there's a lot of different emotions that come from this.
Absolutely. And again, listeners, I'm sure if you're paying attention and you're sitting in your home or your car and absorbing all this information, you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I always wondered about my husband, my dad, my son, my brother, my nephew, my niece, just the whole gamut of things what we've been talking about, and an individual's service in the military and how it impacts them in ways that we could never comprehend. And a lot of times they might not talk to us because we are the loved one and they don't want to burden us. But we're hoping that with this new program, when they need to be treated for something, that they will unburden themselves. So, listeners, of course, if you follow this program, you know it's time for us to take a short break. Again, public service announcements, underwriters, supporters, we love you all. So what we ask is that you stay tuned, because Faith in Action will be right back. Hello again, listeners of Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. This show is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox, and I am so pleased to bring to you all this information about Mercy One's launch of its military and veterans healthcare program to provide care to military service members, to veterans, and their families. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I just find this really interesting for myself, if I am one of these individuals, or my loved one, or a good friend, I'm going to give you a phone number. Of course, you can go to Mercy One's website and type in military and veterans health care. The website has tons of information on it. You can, of course, do that at your leisure. But if you would like to talk to somebody for whatever reason, then here's a phone number, and I will give it again at the end of the program. It is area code 712-279-2010. And again, I will give that at the end of the program because sometimes that is a helpful way to really understand better what's going on here. So we've talked about, Mercy One's healthcare providers and really everybody associated with the hospital. They are trained to better respond to the healthcare needs and the challenges that are so unique to the military community. So we've talked about the training that goes into that and some of the surprises for us who are not military, that what might have occurred to these individuals who are in active duty, or deployed service members, even our veterans. There's so much that has gone on. And so the hospital's patient admission process has been updated so military members are identified upon arrival. And I think they get a special wristband. Is it red, white, and blue?
Yes, it's red, white, and blue with little stars.
Oh, excellent, Soraya. Thank you so much for, as it should be, right? So we talked about, the training for you folks as healthcare providers and how that works and kind of what surprised you as you went through the training. And one of the things I think, that really resonated with me was, when I think of the needs of military people is, mental issues. Although we talked at length in the last segment about the health issues as well. But the mental issues, I believe, having been familiar and written stories, as the individuals know who listen to my program, the show's all about me. So I have written stories about Gold Star mothers and Blue Star mothers and all of that. But there's another program too, Soraya, right?
Yeah, Joanne. So here in Sioux City, and I'm not affiliated, but I know that they have the Yellow Ribbon Family Program, and that supports the, the Army National Guard soldiers. So they all have websites if you want to log on or if you're Facebook affiliated, Delta Company, Family Yellow Ribbon.
Yeah, absolutely, listeners. So there again is another opportunity to just check out something else if you are concerned for yourself or for a loved one. Yellow Ribbon, and boom, up comes stuff. So one of the things that's interesting, of course, both of you come out of a military background. I do not. So when the civilians are trained, and I can't think of another word for them, but they're civilians, are trained in this, that's kind of an added benefit, I would say. And Tonya, maybe you can talk about that just a little bit. How does this benefit a civilian who might not, this might not click with them?
Right. So when we have civilians that are trained to identify the needs of veterans and current military members, they're trained to think outside the box. Not only are they coming in with a certain symptom, they may possibly have a diagnosis that has not been diagnosed yet, such as we have an individual that will come in and say, my knees hurt. Okay, what is your background? What is your employment? What is your military background? Were you airborne? Were you jumping a lot? Okay, do we have trauma to the knees? If we have someone who's very irritable, appears to be on edge, are they suffering from possible PTSD? Not only is it anxiety, depression, but truly, is it a PTSD that's been undiagnosed up to this point in time? When we have children that have some type of birth defect, which are now, let's backtrack a little bit. We have children with an unknown birth defect. Was it because their parent was exposed to something during a deployment prior to them being conceived? There's multiple things that we need to think that may be going on? They don't just come in with a sore throat, but are we dealing with throat cancer?
Yeah, absolutely. Things that we never think about. And again, we talked right from the top of this program that, yes, it is an outreach to our, you know, individuals who are currently enlisted in the military, be whatever that might be, but our veterans, but also their families. And they can be as impacted as anything. So what's the big benefit to this area to have something like this? Because I think there are probably some individuals who are listening who say, yeah, but we do have a veterans hospital right up the road in Sioux Falls, and they're good folk, and we do have a veterans clinic in Sioux City that you can go to. So we have relationships with those. What is the benefit of having our Catholic hospital involved in this kind of program? Soraya, do you want to start identifying
Joanne.
That?
So I would like to first say that we are in partnership with the VA in the Dakota Dunes. They're actually part of our external committee, and we're working with the Vet Center up by the mall, Southern Hills Mall. So they are on board. This program really provides a lot of benefit in that ability to fill in the healthcare gaps. Sometimes, as those of you who either are directly using or know somebody who's using the VA, they're not always as readily available to take us all in. There's more of us than they can serve all at once. So filling in those healthcare gaps, and as the I mentioned earlier, especially with females in the military, our needs are also evolving. So being able to send out for secondary type of help, or as Tonya was mentioning, there's a lot of stuff that's coming up that it's evolving. So we just need that secondary support from the, you know, with the VA to this program.
Mm-hmm. And Tonya, you are like directly involved because you are in a clinic rather than the hospital where folk are coming in. And so as you see them, what would you say is the benefit for these individuals who are coming in to have this kind of program in place?
Mm-hmm. So not all veterans are affiliated with the VA system.
Good
even
point.
Though they may have 100% eligibility and be service connected. And it is part of us to think outside that box, that if we have a Vietnam veteran who's diagnosed with prostate cancer, it may be related to Agent Orange, which could create a service connection for them and be 100% covered for that health care. And we, because the VA cannot see everyone as soon as possible, due to the sheer number of veterans that are out there, they will go ahead and outsource some of their care. So whether it be specialty clinics within the Mercy One system, through our urgent care, through our family practice clinics. And so that is important for us to realize that we build that liaison and that connection bridge with the VA system.
Yeah, and that would make sense because, again, the immediacy is sometimes very important. And like both of you ladies talked about, it's hard for the VA. I mean, we know this. We all have common sense. They're overwhelmed. We got the World War II folk. We got, I don't know if there's any World War I folk left anymore. Probably not. But we definitely got the World War II folk. We got the Korean War. We got the Vietnam War. And then past that, just anybody who was involved almost any place. And what we're looking at, and Soraya, you kind of alluded it to, is the younger people, where I think the people coming back from Vietnam and Korea and World War II were more stoic. And we didn't have the number of females either. And so they were more of the, as Tom Brokaw says in his book, the greatest generation, but they paid a price by keeping a lot of that internally. So, again, you know, the idea of this kind of outreach, Mercy One is a Catholic hospital, you know, should be part of their mission is compassionate care. So what are you thinking about how this program can really benefit the community? Is it the immediacy or the compassionate care or a combination of both, perhaps? Soraya, you want to talk first? You're kind of close to the mic there.
Yeah. Thanks, John. So we definitely always strive to provide compassionate care, and we want to always extend right to the community and be readily available. But I think having this as an opportunity really just it moves forward with the mission. We're evolving as the needs of our community evolve.
Absolutely. Tonya, same kind of thoughts?
Exactly, Joanne. You know, the military focuses on the psychological health, the physical health, and so the behavioral health, the whole dynamics of the holistic person, and that is what Mercy One is focusing on, the holistic, compassionate care of our military members and our veterans.
Very well stated. And again, I want to thank both of you for your service. It means a lot to have you both in the studio. I want to remind the listeners that my two guests in the studio, Tonya Weinkoff, who is a family nurse practitioner at Mercy One, Singing Hills Family Medicine and Urgent Care right here in Sioux City, and current serving military member, and Soraya Flores. She is the Mercy One Supply Chain Supervisor, previously with the Army National Guard, deployed down in Afghanistan, and now a trainer with this program, the Military and Veterans Healthcare Program with Mercy One here in Sioux City. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, again, I want to remind you, if you have questions, please, a couple of ways to have your questions answered. You can go right to Mercy One's website, and there's Military and Veterans Healthcare with tons of information that might answer your question. If you enjoy talking to people, then you can call this number. It is a Sioux City number. It's 712-279-2010. Again, 279-2010. And listeners, of course, we talk about this is a Sioux City hospital, but those of you in Northeast Nebraska and Southeast South Dakota, please, if you think this will benefit you, look into it. So that wraps up the program again. So on behalf of my executive producer of the show, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that a faithful reaction is good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.